thank you, Scott. Thank you, Dave. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. If you would, take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Today's Sunday, May the 12th, 2024, and it's Mother's Day. And we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, sharing this morning because of things that people say more now than perhaps in times. I just talked to someone yesterday. I said, do you hear conversations like this? And they said, yes. Because of things that people see and hear going on in the world these days, many people believe and are saying the end is very near. Have any of you heard that lately? Christ is coming real soon because things are so dark, and also because of scriptures they may have read, they believe Jesus Christ is coming back at any moment. We know he is coming back, and in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 13, familiar to us, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort or encourage one another with these words. No one knows the day or the time when Jesus Christ is coming back. And secondly, even though the world that we're living in today, and especially here in the United States, even though things look very dark, is this the worst time in the history of mankind? If you know anything about history, no, it's not. But you still hear people say, well, in the Gospels, Jesus said these are the signs. This morning, we're going to do just a very brief review of the end times, because a close look at the scriptures reveals there are two parts to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first is what we just read here in Thessalonians, the gathering together. We're going to meet him in the clouds, and it's important to note it says, so shall we, born again ones, ever be with the Lord. And if it says ever be with the Lord, then there is no possibility of being separated from the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The second part, or the second event, is referred to in the scriptures as the day of the Lord. And so that cannot be confused with the gathering together, the day of the Lord. And at that event, the day of the Lord, that's when you have the resurrection of the just and the unjust, and that's when judgment takes place. And many times there is sometimes confusion in religious circles regarding the gathering together and the day of the Lord. Those are two separate events. So we're going to do a little brief review on those two events. And we just read in 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, verse 18, comfort or encourage one another with these words. And let's continue on in the context. But of the times, we're in chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. We're talking about the day of the Lord now, right? We talked about the gathering together in chapter 4. Now we're talking about the day of the Lord. Okay. But, verse 4, ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, that's the judgments, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort or encourage yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. God's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, it says in verse 9. The word salvation, it comes from the Greek word that literally means deliverance. Then there's different types of deliverance in the scriptures. Like Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is salvation, deliverance for eternal life. There's other types of deliverance in the Bible. Deliverance from mental things, deliverance from conflicts or afflictions. And here, basically, it's the deliverance that comes with the return of Christ, which includes delivered from the wrath to come, the judgments. And again, verse 2 says, the day of the Lord. Now look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's a lot of detail about the day of the Lord in chapter 1. We're not going to read that this morning. But in chapter 2, it says, now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So when he wrote this, the gathering together hadn't happened yet, and it still hadn't yet. Look at verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In all the critical Greek texts, the word Christ in that verse is Lord. That the day of the Lord is at hand. Don't want you getting all shook up like if you got a letter that looked like it was from us, that if somebody said this, somebody said that, that the day of the Lord is at hand. Well, that's going on a lot today, isn't it? Then it goes on, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's all kinds of theology about this falling away first. And there are a lot of theological opinions. But basically, the word falling away is best translated departure. That day, where are we? Verse 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a departure first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That departure is us being gathered together. The day of the Lord is not going to come until we leave. And again, there's a lot of detail about this particular subject in the Bible. And three years ago, if you were on the mailing list for our Word Promotions, Reverend Gear sent this out, and it's called an excerpt from the Student Study Guide to the Advanced Class. It's Appendix 6, and it is The Day of the Lord and a Falling Away, and it's quite a great study, and if you got it, might be a good time to review it. If you'd like to borrow my copy, you're welcome to. It's 32 pages. So it goes into some great detail. So if anybody wants to borrow mine, you're welcome to. this is kind of extra for me because I have the student study guide and it's in there. But how, what a blessing to send this to those that were on the mailing list. So, Romans 5. I say that because I could just read through this and we'd be here for a couple of hours at least. But I just, a brief review, some highlights that I think will be a blessing because we're hearing more of that today. Not just preachers, too. People on the street that you meet, they're like, yeah, oh, yeah. We're close. We're getting real close. So we're just looking at the scriptures here. Romans 5:8, familiar again. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified. We are now justified, not by our works, but by his blood. He died. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Jesus Christ's sacrifice, giving his life for us, paid the full price for our sins. And in the eyes of God, according to what God said, we are justified. God made every born-again believer righteous in his sight. And when the time of wrath comes, the time of judgments, we will not be judged because we're already righteous. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5 a minute ago that God has not appointed us unto wrath. And in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, it says, Jesus Christ has delivered us from the wrath to come. And here in verse 9, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're not going to go through the judgments. And again, we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Back up to Romans 2. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 16, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. A day is coming when Jesus Christ is going to do the judging. Look at, I was just going to read it to you, but look at John 5. It's not that far away. John chapter 5. Because Jesus Christ told them he was the one who's going to be doing the judging when that time comes. And the reason he's going to be doing the judging is because God put him in charge of the judging. In John chapter 5, verse 22. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And in verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. So when that day comes, it's Jesus Christ that's going to do the judging of all people who have ever lived, except us, the born-again ones. We've already been judged righteous. You don't need to turn there, but in Acts 10, when he was preaching at Cornelius' house, said, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained of God to be the judge of living and dead. In Acts 17, when Paul was preaching at Athens, he said, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. There's a time of judgments coming. Christ will come to judge. But the next great biblical event that will take place is the gathering together when we meet him in the clouds. The last great biblical event that took place happened on the day of Pentecost, which we're going to all celebrate next week. What began on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts 2, is something that God kept a secret. God on that day started an entire time period. In the church epistles, as you know, it's called the administration of the grace of God, and it's also called the administration of the mystery. Go to Acts chapter 2, if you would. Show you something that I got really blessed working this. And I'll share this with you. This was a time period that God set up, a time period of incredible grace on human beings. That's why it's called the administration of the grace of God. It's also called the administration of the mystery because no one knew about this time period except God. No one knew until it was first revealed to the Apostle Paul. The coming of the Savior, we read about it in the Old Testament. The Redeemer is coming, the Messiah is coming. That wasn't a secret. They anticipated it. They were looking for it. And also we see very clearly in both the Old Testament and in the Gospels the judgments that are coming. So throughout history, speaking of God's people, Israel, they looked forward to two events: the coming of the Redeemer, the Savior, and then judgments. And that they knew about. Not a secret. But in Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, you know, they thought because the apostles were speaking in tongues, and then some people were like, these guys are drunk. Peter stood up and said, we're not drunk. Verse 15, 2:15. These are not drunken as you suppose. It's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then Peter begins to quote from Joel chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And then, verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven. He's still quoting Joel. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter quoted Joel's prophecy, and he was quoting Joel's prophecy about two events. First, the time when God was going to make spirit available, which was that day. This is what Joel prophesied. But that prophecy was also about another event, the time of judgments, the day of the Lord. Joel did not mention the mystery. Joel didn't mention the age of grace because Joel didn't know the mystery. It hadn't been revealed yet. And on this day, at this time, Peter didn't know the mystery either because it still hadn't been revealed like it was first revealed to Paul. So what they knew, believed from the scriptures, there's a Messiah coming, a Savior that's going to redeem mankind, and then come the judgments. That's what they knew. They did not know about this time period. It was all known. Remember the apostles, even on the day of ascension? Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You know, we're going to get things right here. And he was like, not for you to know, not for you to know. But what did I just tell you? Holy Spirit's coming. So they knew a Redeemer was coming, then judgments. But God stepped in and said, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I got something planned. A marvelous plan. It was a secret. And that's why in the Bible it's called the mystery. It's a period of time that we're still in, a time of God's incredible grace, that any person can get born again, become a child of God, and not have to go through the judgments to come. Not just those of Israel. Go to Ephesians 3. And maybe for some Judeans in those early days, this is why they had such a problem with Gentiles getting saved. Because, hey, wait a second. We're waiting for our Messiah, the Messiah, the Redeemer for Israel, to come, be the sacrifice, and then judgment for all these jackass Gentiles that don't know God because we're the chosen people. Breaks. Stop. We have a new time period coming in here where anybody can become. No, that's not how it's supposed to go. And that's why the mystery in Ephesians 3, verse 1 goes, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the," should be administration, "if you have heard of the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery," as I wrote afore in few words, "whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." And then here is the mystery, verse 6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, together heirs with Israel, and of the same body," we're all one body, "and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." That's the mystery. All those years, Israel, God's chosen people, everybody else, dogs. That's how they referred to them, as dogs, Gentiles. Have nothing to do with them. Don't eat with them. Don't go into their house. Don't do anything with them. If you do, you're unclean. Then you got to go through a cleansing process. Waiting for the Redeemer. Waiting for the Redeemer. Because once the Redeemer comes, does everything, boom, then judgments. Then we're going to. And the apostles brought up that a number of times, remember? Can we sit on your right hand and on your left hand when you, who's going to be in charge? You know, they're all looking forward to judgments and everything being taken care of, but nobody knew God had another plan in mind. So no one knew until it was revealed to Paul. That's why Joel couldn't write about it, because he couldn't get revelation about it, because God was still keeping it a secret. That's why Peter didn't know it on the day of Pentecost. And for a long time when I read that section in Acts 2, I got the first part when he was quoting Joel, but I'm like, why this second part? The moon's going to turn to blood and all of that. Because that prophecy of Joel had two events, the coming of Holy Spirit and the judgments. And it all made sense. So not only do all those who accept Jesus Christ receive God's Spirit along with all the other rights, privileges, and abilities that we get, but saved from wrath. In the Gospels, when we read in the Gospels, Jesus Christ spoke very clearly about the judgments to come. I think we heard a message this morning about boldly declaring the future. God sure does. And Jesus Christ used different analogies concerning the judgments to show separation, the wheat and the tares, the good fish and unacceptable fish, throw those out. Goats and the sheep, goats out of the way, sheep. He used those analogies. But in the gathering together, there is no separation. We'll meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's no mention of any separation. In the Gospels, Jesus Christ, when he was speaking of the judgments, that's the day of the Lord he was talking about, which happens sometimes after the gathering together. But you know what's interesting? Jesus Christ in the Gospels never spoke about the gathering together. It was still a mystery. It was still a secret until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And in fact, considering the day of the Lord, when they would ask him questions about that, one time he went, look, nobody knows. The angels don't know. And he went, the Son of God doesn't know. Nobody knows. No man knows. So if you ever run into somebody whose name is No Man, ask them. Because Jesus said, no man knows. Bad joke. Okay. Jesus Christ never spoke about the gathering together. He never spoke about the believers meeting him in the clouds. I can't wait to meet you in the clouds. Never did. And in fact, the angels that appeared on the day of the ascension when they watched Jesus Christ go up into the clouds, and then they just stood there gazing. They saw a lot of things when Jesus was here, but that was probably the topper.
Yeah.
What did the angels say? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so return in like manner as you have seen him leave. Is that how we're going to meet him in the clouds? No. He left the earth, went up. He shall return in like manner, because when the day of the Lord comes, he's coming back to the earth. Gathering together, we're going to meet him in the clouds. It's so cool. So it was still a part of the mystery. Nobody knew. Nobody knew until God revealed it. A day of judgment is coming. Whether anybody believes it or not, it doesn't make any difference. Some people are going to have a very big surprise. It's coming. It's coming. But before that happens, God's going to send his Son to gather us together. We read what God had Paul write to warn the Thessalonians. Remember, we just read that little bit. Don't get shook up. Don't let somebody deceive you. Don't, even if it looks, oh, this probably came from Paul. Don't buy into it. Don't get shook up over that. And yet, preachers today are talking about the end. There might be more talk about, I think there's a what they call a blood moon, where it's an eclipse where the moon looks real red. Blood on the moon. And there's supposed to be a blood moon, I think, next March. Look, there's a blood moon, another sign. We're almost there. Armageddon is on the way. The Lord... And the problem is they just don't understand the scriptures. They don't understand that what Jesus was talking about in the Gospels referring to judgments is about the day of the Lord. They don't understand the mystery. That's the big problem. And the mystery includes the gathering together. It's all part of that time period. And once the gathering together happens, now we're moving into other things. I remember there was a guy at work when I was working radio, and I used to share a couple of things with him. He's a Christian. I even went in and prayed for him one time. He did a lot of the production work. One day he was just fried, and I went into that studio and I said, hey, Mark, do you want me to pray for you? You seem, yeah, that'd be great. But he really liked that series of books called Left Behind. They might have even made some movies about that. So a new edition came out, and he went, yeah, there's a new book. I don't know. I guess they were different books. A new book came out, Left Behind, and he was starting it. He goes, oh, you're not really into that, are you? I said, Mark, I said, I'm not going to be here. I said, you know, a lot of that stuff in the book of Revelation, I'm going to be gone. Christ is coming, I'm going to be gathered together, so I just really don't want to worry about being left behind, because I won't be. So, to wrap this up, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 again. Until the gathering together, what do we do? Lose our minds? The scripture tells us what to do until then. We read this earlier, but let's just read it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll start in verse 8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, have whole thinking, putting on the breastplate of faith, the breastplate of the right way of believing, and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation, the great hope that we have. There you have faith, love, and hope together again. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a departure first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And 1 Corinthians 15, which I just heard somebody say that. You're right on. That's what we need to do. What it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the victory there is victory over death. And even if we fall asleep, we're not finished. We're going to be raised from the dead. And as this chapter said, those that are mortal will put on immortality. Those that have corrupted will put on incorruption. Yea, thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, for as much as you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you don't have a copy of this and you're interested in getting more detail, borrow it from somebody, or you can borrow a copy of mine. This has just been a little brief review of those two exciting events to come. Keep in mind, in the Gospels, when Jesus spoke of judgment, he was referring to the Lord's day. And that's the day when he will do the judging. But before that happens, the next biblical event that's going to take place will be the gathering together. So, before I pray, would you lead, I think it's song number 196, this short little song. We haven't sung this in a while.
Okay.
Turn your songbooks to 196. We don't know when he's coming.
Okay. We don't know when he's coming,
but we do know that he's coming. We don't know when it will be, but we do know that it will. Maybe Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, maybe today.
Isn't that a great song?
Yeah.
If I remember right, Reverend Gere's wife, Barbara, wrote that song to teach kids the days of the week.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Father, thank you for the great hope that we have that you will absolutely send our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to gather us together. Thank you that your word boldly declares our future. And Father, thank you for the incredible grace and how easy you made salvation for those who choose to believe in your Son. Thank you, Father, for all that we have, the rights, the privileges, and abilities, and that as we wait, we can continue to stay faithful, unmovable, and that, Father, we can keep the faith and stay our course and fight the good fight. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.